Hello, and welcome to the Project Elected podcast. Project Elect is a nonpartisan nonprofit whose goal is pretty simple. We want to get more Latter-day Saint women involved in public service. On today's podcast, we interview an amazing Latter-day Saint woman involved in public service. My name is Audrey Perry Martin. I'm the founder of Project Elect and the host of this podcast. So before we get started today, I did want to point out that the filing period for running for local office in California is open right now, and it's open through August 12th. So now is the time to run or recruit someone to run for office if you live in the Golden State. So today's podcast is going to be a lot of fun because I'm interviewing a city council member from my hometown. Debbie LeRae is a member of the Orem Utah City Council, and I grew up in Orem. I actually just came home from visiting my parents there. We had a great time utilizing all of Orem's amazing parks and resources, and I'm really excited to talk to someone who is helping to run my amazing hometown. Debbie, thank you so much for being here today and for living through all of our technical difficulties we've had. We tried to record this in Orem when I was out there and my parents' internet connection wasn't good enough. So she's given me a second shot and I really appreciate it, Debbie. So
oh, no problem.
We're going to have a lot of fun talking about Orem and all the great things you've done. Debbie has an amazing background that I want her to tell you about because she has some great stories. So, Debbie, why don't you just introduce yourself and tell me about kind of your current position and your background and how you got there?
Sure. So I am currently on Orem City Council. It's my second term. So my seventh of 8 years. I have a year and a half left. I am kind of an expert in economic development. I did that in my previous job in American Fork. I ran the Chamber of Commerce as well as economic development for the city of AF. So I have that background. I served on the Arts Council and I did the Summerfest Parade previous to my service on the council. So got involved in my community. Met my husband at the Winter Olympics. We're really big volunteers. So certainly been a joy to be part of the council with its ups and downs, but overall I think it's been a very positive experience. So, but I'm a wife and a grandma, 29 plus one more on the way. So lots of great grandkids. And that really motivates me on why I want my city to be a great place for my grandkids to live and to visit.
Yeah. Well, we love Orem. We were just there. We love the Summerfest. We love all your parks. You have great splash pads, great arts, the Sarah Shell. Would you tell us a little bit about the city of Orem and kind of what some of your challenges are and what you guys focus on as a city council?
Sure. We just celebrated 100 years a couple years ago. So we've been in existence. We are next to Provo. So we kind of have this Provo Orem vibe, which is great. We have more of the retail and then Provo. We do have some downtown, well, not really downtown, State Street. It's our main thoroughfare. It's kind of an ugly State Street. I'm not going to lie. It wasn't well planned. It's a state road. So we did a lot of planning. A lot of it had some high density housing, which our public did not like. And so we've taken that portion off. And now we just have taken it back to commercial, but we really want it to look good. Eventually, the idea is that it'll be redeveloped and renovated and look better with better signage, better walkability, better design. So that's exciting. Our big issue right now is there's going to be possibly a vote to put on the ballot of whether we separate from Alpine School District and form our own school district. There are pros and cons to this. It's been something that's been talked about for years. We just paid to have a feasibility study. So that's going to be a big issue and is the big issue right now as far as whether we split from Alpine. Alpine is the 42nd largest in the nation with 85,000 students. And it has 14 communities. So it is a large school district. There's pros and cons with that. And so that's our main issue right now.
Yeah, that's a big one. I'm a graduate of the Alpine School District myself, so I know that district well. I didn't know that Orem was thinking about that, so that's great to know. And yeah, it seems like school issues are popping up everywhere these days. So,
well, the people who were on the campaign told me that there were three people who were on the campaign trail last year, and they told me this was an issue that people brought up a lot. So, so that's. And I think we move forward to do the study and everything. So it's going to be, it's pretty divisive. I mean, yeah, you're either really for it or you're against it. And not a whole lot in between.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet it is. Well, good luck with that. Thank you. You guys will figure it out.
We will. Or the voters will.
The voters will. Right. Right. So I want to kind of ask you a little bit about running for office, because I know you had a lot of experience in kind of the public sector before that. And so a lot of people that we talk to on this podcast or just out on the street, they haven't had a lot of public service experience before they ran for office, but you had. So could you tell us a little bit about what the process for running the first time was and what that was like, and maybe whether you thought it helped you to have worked in for the public sector before?
Okay. Yes, I ran three times. The first time I did not make it through. I finished eighth in the primary, and you had to finish sixth to move forward. I felt with my master's degree in public administration, which is like a business degree, but it has a nonprofit government sort of healthcare, slant to it. So you have the accounting, the economics, the marketing, but it has a government nonprofit feel to it. So that was really good, especially the budgeting and taxation class. That class is so valuable, but you don't necessarily have to do that. Honestly, I tell people, can you read? Can you study? Can you ask questions? Do you have a decent mind? If you can say yes, and which most women do, most women, we sell ourselves short, but most women are smart enough, they can figure this out. I did have some people come to me. There were women on this council. Three of them said, Debbie, we need more women. Would you consider it? I also had the Chamber of Commerce here in Provo, Orem. The gentleman came, Val Hale, said, we need some business-friendly candidates. Would you consider running? So, and then I had started, serving in my community on the Arts Council, and me and my husband worked on the Pride. So I had some vested interest. And that's also what I want to say to people. Just get involved with your communities. I don't care what committee you're on. Do something, get involved, or listen to city council meetings or planning committee. Just kind of get yourself familiar. You don't have to have a master's degree like I had to run. But I think for me, it was very helpful. You just have to have a sound mind, if you ask me. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And getting involved too. It seems like that helps you get to know people, get people to know you. And it sounds like you knew a lot of people through just service that you've done.
Yeah. And I think that's important to tell the public, I'm not just doing this for me. I've been involved with my community. I think it shows some background. And so when you do a resume or a flyer, you can say, I've been serving in this capacity or this capacity. And I think that shows that you've been involved already and gives you some credibility there.
Yeah. And you know what you're talking about with the local issues. And
yes, you do.
Yeah, like you said,
but make sure you read your paper or online or just make sure you watch and listen and learn. It's not as complicated as some people make it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So what kind of help did you get when you ran? And did you receive any helpful advice when you were starting out?
Well, the first time I ran, it was just me and my kids. My stepson was a good CEO, so he designed my website. But what I underestimated was the time, the effort, and really a strategic plan. After the first time I ran and I didn't win, I thought, okay, what can I learn from this? I had people come to me and say, I can help you with strategy. I can help you with design. I can help you with a better logo, a better sign look. I can help you with postcards. So once I got my name out there, then the help came. And then the third time I ran on this last go round, I actually hired a campaign manager who did all my video work, all my, he sent out emails and things like that. So I did start adding people that had value to me. Some of them were free. Some of them I had to pay for. But you just learned along the way where to get stuff, who's the cheapest door hanger printer. You just start learning these sort of things. And then I just asked a lot of questions. Margaret Black, who was a former city councilwoman, she gave me all of her information, all of her lists, all of these sort of things. You can get voting records from the county. So I just really started getting more strategic and just figured it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I like how you say you learned from your loss, because I feel like a lot of women, when they're thinking about running for office, they're really afraid of losing and they don't want to lose. But a lot of people, almost most people, I would say, lose the first time they run for office.
Well, you do. And yes, it does, you might take a hit a little bit, but I had 2,000 people who voted for me. And I probably had only talked to a couple hundred. And I looked at that and I said, 2,000 people who don't know me personally thought I was a value. I looked at it as a win. I'm like, I already have 2,000. Now I just got to get about 4,000 more to vote for me. And like I said, I looked at it as, yes, I lost, but I learned. And I turned it around. So yes, you can say, oh, I lost. It wasn't worth my time. No, what I'm saying is, look where you did win. Look and how you can improve that. And I was so much more strategic. My signs were ready on time. I had everything scheduled perfectly. I mean, honestly, I was on it and I was ready. And that was a 2-year period in between the two races. But 2,000 people who didn't know me, maybe 200 of those knew me. 1,800 people didn't know me, and yet they voted for me. I felt like that was a good starting point.
Absolutely. And I love how you look at that, how you kind of turn it around. Like 2,000 people voted for me. That's a win. And I'm going to do this again and learn from what I didn't know and try again. And you did, and you won the next time. And now you've been doing great things for Orem City. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. I do want to give you an experience. This one was kind of interesting. So the first time I ran, when you start to get negative, you know you're powerful. And that's a really important principle. When you know that you're gonna have effectiveness, or your message is messaging, you're gonna get some negative. And I think it's a positive thing we need to look at. I read a book called Thick Skin and How to Get Thick Skin. And it said, the moment you get negative, you know you're powerful. Okay, well, here's what happened with me negatively. There was a gentleman who took upon himself to write a poem about how fat I was. And so he used some of my words from my sign, and I said, like, proven and committed. And the one sign that makes me laugh, he said in his poem, I was committed to my chubby worth. Committed to my chubby worth.
Gosh.
Okay, it's rude. Let's be honest. That is really rude. But I thought to myself, once again, he must think I'm a threat because he feels the need. And he wrote two other poems to the two other gentlemen too, one accusing him of being quasi-LDS. And one, his last name was Lentz, and he was somehow a Nazi. I mean, just a stretch. But all he could get on me was that I was fat. Okay, I am overweight. Okay, I you got that. But if that's all you got, really? You can look at me and say, okay, I need to lose weight. No problem. So I was committed to my chubby worth. You would be surprised that got picked up on local radio stations, local TV stations. I got interviewed, and you know what was interesting? I probably got thousands of dollars worth of free PR because of these nasty poems that were put in strategic people's. Like, it's really illegal to do that. But I was committed to my chubby worth. I just think to myself, we're women, okay, physical, you're going to criticize me. But honestly, that's all he had. I was smart. I had great service. My master's degree, what was he going to criticize me? That my waistline was too big?
Oh my God.
So what I want to say to you is that negative, yeah, it stung. I'm not going to lie. But the amount of PR I got off of that, amazing. Amazing. So you got to turn every negative you get and not take it so personally, and then just turn it for good. And in the end, I won. End of story. I won. I don't even know who the guy is, but I had people call the Daily Herald and say, we think we saw this guy putting them in. And so what I'm saying is, he was a jerk.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and I really appreciate you sharing that with us, because I think a lot of women are really concerned about the negative that they're going to get and the personal attacks, because it seems like they go after women personally. They go after your parents or, you know, your family, or just things that really should be off limits in this type of a situation.
Oh, yeah.
But they end up getting attacked for those things. And that really worries and scares a lot of women. And I appreciate you sharing that and your perspective on how, it hurt, but I used it. I, utilized it to the best of my interest and won the campaign anyway.
And so now when I get negative, I always feel the bigger the issue, the more negative I'm going to get. It must be I'm doing a really powerful thing on the positive side. Mm-hmm. You have to look at negativity as the yin and yang. And it's, I know it sounds funny, but negativity is a good source of how good you're doing. It really, really, really is, ladies. And so I've learned that through the 7 years I've been on. And most people, they don't really know you, right? They don't know you personally. Most people who know me personally like me.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then you don't really know me. Or if you just disagree with me politically, fine. I mean, we can agree to disagree. And I don't know everything, and I can learn from people's perspective. So you got to have a healthy self-esteem, but you also have to know, don't fear the negative. It means you're powerful. I'm going to say it again. The negative means you are powerful and you can elicit change. It is so awesome. It is so awesome to think of the power you truly have. I manage a budget of $143 million. 143 million. That is a large amount of money. And I'm so excited to think about the things, the projects I get to do and how I get to balance that budget and figure out where those resources go. So women, negativity equals power. That is my message. Don't fear it. Welcome it.
Yep. That's amazing. I love that. Thank you for sharing it. And I think that is that's such a powerful message. That's such a powerful perspective and way of thinking of things that if, you know, people are attacking you, and I've worked in politics for a long time and I can definitely back up that's true. If you're the one who's getting attacked, you're the one they're afraid of, and you're the one who's, you know, gaining the power and who's doing well and who's surging and the momentum's in your direction. So take it as a good sign.
And as women of God, we know our divine nature and no one can take that away. You have to know it and believe it and feel it. And then when you do, those things are just, you know, deflect it.
Yeah.
Your divine nature is amazing. And I think God expects women to speak up. He expects us to use his God-given talents, and he expects us to make a difference in our community. And I think a woman's perspective is so vital, especially on local government, because we represent. In Orem, 51% of my population is women, and there are 2 out of 7 of us. I'd really like one more woman, because we have a unique perspective, and we want to represent those we govern. And so if women don't get involved, and I mean, the guys are fine on my thing, but they do not always see things the way I see them. Mm-hmm. I have a different bent. I care about quality of life. I care about beautification. I'm a stickler for making sure things look good in my community. I have told developers that is ugly. Start over. Uh-huh. I mean, and maybe that's a kind of a stereotype for women, but I really, really do care about beauty and making sure that the things that are in my community are a beautiful thing, and I'm leaving a good legacy. And so I guess I want representation. I want our God-given talents used, and don't be afraid of negative. So sorry, I'm on a soapbox, but that's why you're interviewing me.
I love the soapbox. It's a great soapbox to be on. And you're so right that we need more representation of women. And, you know, women care about their communities and they care about different things often than men do. And so having women on, you know, these boards and organizations and councils and all of these things is vitally important. And we can't run away from it because we're afraid we're going to get called chubby and, you know, that they're going to attack our family. You know, we're stronger than that. We really are.
And here's the question I hate the most. And my kids were raised. So how are you going to manage with all your children? Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, do you ask a guy that question? No. What? First and second of all, you say, and this is my answer. My husband and I have discussed it. We've prayed about it. And this is our decision. End of story. Who's going to say, no, you didn't? No, God didn't tell you that. No. So that question is, people will ask you that. How are you going to manage your home life and this? Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, none of their dang business. Secondly, if you know that you have prayed about it and this is your decision, you just say, God told me it was my time. My husband's supporter, my family's supporter. And most city councils, I mean, it's part-time. You can manage it. Now, I would say for me, my kids are raised and I just have grandchildren, it's probably easier and I can do more. But if I were younger and wanted to be involved, that's okay. Kids take naps. You can read at night when they're asleep. It's doable if you feel like this is your calling or what you should do. Or it's your dream. Mine ended up being a dream of mine that I've realized. Mm-hmm. So that's always an interesting question.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I'm so glad that, you know, it was a dream that was able to come to pass and that you didn't let the negative and all the controversy and other things get in your way. That's fantastic.
And can I add one more thing? Before I go on.
Absolutely.
My love for my husband deepened. I'll tell you why. He walked neighborhoods with me hour after hour after hour after hour. Because it was a dream of mine and he helped me fulfill it. I will love him forever for doing that for me. And he's done it 3 times. And so the power of the love I have for my husband based on him supporting my dream and his effort is so powerful. And it was a bonding experience for us to work together for a common goal. And I will love that man forever. And when he dies or I die, I hope to say he walked neighborhoods for Debbie. Thousands of people he talked to. He put up signs. And it really for us, and I'm crying, it really for us was such a binding thing because he was helping me live my dream. And I help him live his dreams too. But I'm telling you, it wasn't a negative for our marriage. It wasn't a negative for my grandchildren to go and, you know, walk neighborhoods and run to the doors. It was a fun game. And we just worked and we divided up the city. And it became a family experience. And like I said, involve your kids, involve your husband. It's great. Okay, now back to what you want to talk about.
Well, no, that was one of the things I want to talk about because I always like to ask, you know, it sounds like your family was really involved in your campaigns all the way through.
Oh, they were.
And you got them involved in it at high levels. And so I always want to ask about that and see how that was because different women have very different experiences with that and the support that they get from their family.
Yeah, well, one daughter designed a logo. My stepson did my website and designed that. And then my husband, I just mentioned how he helped. And then my daughter-in-laws and my daughters, we would divide up the city. There were about 50 precincts in Orem. And we looked at the voter, you know, records and who voted the most. And we just hit the neighborhoods where people voted the most. And then we gave them door hangers or flyers, whatever we were distributing. And we just canvassed the city. And then we would go down the line and the kids would just run and back and forth and put it on the door and then come. And we did that for weeks and weeks. And it really became fun. It was a fun situation. My extended family, you know, they donated money. My dad gave me money. My sisters and brothers, I wrote letters to them and they all sent money. And so my extended family helped. I mean, not tons. I mean, I think my dad gave me 500 and some people gave me 50, but it, you know, it all adds up. And so the other thing is we did fundraising dinners. Where my husband's a great chef, so he would cook and we would charge $60 a couple, kind of what you would spend if you went to a high-end restaurant, and we would do these multi-course meals. And that involved my family and friends, and some of my kids were cooking those meals, some of them were serving those meals, and then just inviting it. So it's just however you can fundraise, they became involved in that aspect too, so.
Well, that's great. And you have all these children and grandchildren who are learning about politics and about getting involved and having that be something that's always in their head. Like it's not foreign to them. It's normal to be, you know, passing out flyers and walking doors and fundraising and from a very young age. And I love that. I try and get my kids involved in campaigns too, because I want them to think this is normal. This is something I should be doing. Yeah.
And then just to vote. I mean, I preach to all my grandkids. Have you turned, anyone's over 18. Have you turned in your ballot? Have you turned in your ballot? Did you do this? You know, sign it, put it, you know, I mean, I kind of bugged them. Let's be honest. You have to vote. It's so crucially important.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I agree with you there 100%. So I wanted to ask you what you think makes a good public servant in your experience.
Well, like I kind of mentioned before, I think you need to have a decent mind to reason through things. I think you need to be a good listener because you don't know everything. And especially when you're first new, you need to listen and learn. Mm-hmm. I think an element of compassion is very important because you have people in all walks of life. You have different needs in different communities in your own community. We have some Hispanic areas. We have some lower income areas. They have different needs than my high end areas. You need to ask those community. So for me, it's a good sound mind, compassion, a good listening ear, and then just the ability to solve problems. If you are a problem solver, I think you can do just fine. And you may not have to come in with the answers to begin with, but to listen, learn, and ask experts, ask other people, ask other communities, you'll be surprised. There are solutions that you can bring to the table.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any political role models? Anyone who kind of inspired you along the way?
Well, you know, I do love the Sandra Day O'Connors of the world. You know, people like that. I love people who are women who just get involved. Locally, you know, Olean Walker was our governor of the state of Utah. She really emphasized reading and how important that was, 20 minutes a day. And I'm all about reading with my grandkids. I actually pay them to read. So I really loved her take on how powerful reading is for. So she was a lieutenant governor under Mike Leavitt, and then she was the governor. So I appreciate her. I think she did a really good job. Mia Love, I know Mia Love, who was our representative back east. I think she has a great story. An LDS woman of Haitian descent. I think she was powerful. She did great. Good friends with her. So yeah, some great women who've done things on the national level and locally. These three women on the city council, they were Margaret Black, Karen McCandless, and Mary Street. They were women who were good, and they, I didn't agree with them on everything, but they certainly did a good job and encouraged me to run. So yeah, there were people that I could look up to.
That's fantastic. And I love that you had women encouraging you to run, specifically encouraging you to run. And I would imagine you do the same thing. I've heard that you are asking women to run as well. And
I
that's
am.
Something we're all about at Project Elect. So
I know. My former neighbor ran last time. Her name is Shantae Zundell. And I'm like, Shantae, do it again. I'll help you. I'll give you money.
Yeah.
I'll walk neighborhoods. So you got to tap women, because sometimes they say it takes about 7 taps before someone will really do it. So I tap. I'm always on the lookout for a really smart woman and man. I mean, anyone I think would really, I'm not running again. So for me, I want someone to really be effective who takes my seat.
Yeah. Well, you talking to women and asking them to run, what reactions do they have? What kind of hesitations do you notice when you're talking to them about running?
I don't think I have the stomach for that. I don't think I could handle the criticism. I don't think I have the money. I don't think I have the time. I don't know. I'm not that smart. I mean, honestly, women, we kind of negative self-speak. And I think that we are much more capable than we give ourselves credit for. And honestly, most women, we just need someone to have confidence. Like, you could do this. You could do this. Yeah, and I think if enough of us tell someone, you could do this and I'll help you, I think they don't know where to begin. And so if you have someone who's been through, you say, let me help you. I'll help you do this. But you got to overcome your own probably insecurities. I'm not going to lie. And they're real with women. Let's be honest. We're a little more emotional. But you got to use that emotion and that passion to help do good. It's powerful. Passion is powerful too.
It is. It's really powerful. And I love that you keep encouraging them, because I get a lot of the same responses when I ask women to run. And it's a lot of, I don't have a thick enough skin. I don't, you know, what, I don't have enough time, all of these things. And kind of explaining it to them is, this is just an extension of the service you're already doing your whole life. And doing this is really a different way to help your community that you probably haven't considered. And you're going to help a lot of people this way. And we need you.
And most terms are 4 years. I mean, I think they're almost all 4 years. And so 4 years, this may be something you focus on, but it's only 4 years. It's not forever. Mm-hmm. And there is time and season. I get the time and seasons. I mean, and that's a really individual decision. And I was probably glad that my children were raised. I didn't have to worry about that. But don't have to be. Or like I said, maybe your kids are in high school. Yeah. And maybe it's not so hard for their day-to-day, you know, taking care of them. Just have to, you know, buy some frozen pizzas and say, here you go. You know what I mean? Yeah, or here. I mean, my kids lived on cereal, honestly. My son just have a bunch of cereal and they're fine. Mm-hmm. So I think it's time and season, and it's individual for each person. But you probably need some time to think it over, mill it over. But don't exclude yourself because you're not confident in your abilities. Women are smart. Women are capable, and we're compassionate. Very, very important. And women's voices are needed.
Yeah. And they care. And I think the caring is one of the key issues in local government, is that you got to care about your government.
You remember that talk that President Kimmel gave it when he was in the hospital and his wife had to read it about, you know, the women who will be articulate and engaged in their communities will be like, other women will see them and want to be like that. But we need women to be capable and articulate. I'm not quoting it right, but the gist of what his wife read of his talk was, women of the church will be powerful influences for good. And because of that good, women will flock or will come to the church because of that. We need you to be articulate and engaged. And so it's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it absolutely is. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about any support now with your campaign. Like you said, the first time you ran, it was mostly volunteer. But after that, maybe a little bit more about the nuts and bolts about how you did it and how you found someone to help you, how you hired people, how you knew what you needed.
Okay, well, the first time, usually your city will set up some debates where you'll be debating either in some sort of forum. People will be in the audience or watch online. And after that, I had people who would email me or call me and say, I can help you. Mm-hmm. I can help you. A lady I can think about, her name was Leslie Nelson. She owned a company called Sensations. She did postcards and graphic design. She was the person that would mail like a realtor card out to people, or like those recipes you would get from a realtor. That was her company producing. So she said, I can help you. And she did. And her graphic designer helped me. And then I had the women, like I said, Margaret gave me her lists from the voting records of who did this. And you can get those. Each of your, whoever is your voting into your county or whatever, you can pay for those lists and know. And I didn't waste my time for people who never voted. We went to homes where people voted almost always because, and when we mailed out things, we voted, we sent it to people who voted, not, I mean, sometimes you canvass everything, but I also feel like if only 30% of the people are going to vote, that's usually what our voter turnout is. You can't waste your money or time on people that aren't even going to fill out the ballot, right? And then you just start learning about, like there are a couple campaign managers that people use. You just ask, who did you use? And one of them I really liked, his name was Richard Yousey. And so he did that. So you just start learning, you start asking, and then you have people who start volunteering. You know, you bring a sign up and say, who wants to take a sign? People would write their name and they take a sign. And then you just keep those lists from who helped you the previous time. I just kept all that. And then my fundraising letters, I wrote a letter at the beginning to fundraise to all my families and friends that basically said, it was kind of like, you can help me in many ways. You can, you know, send me an endorsement. You can put up a sign, or if you want to send me financial stuff, that's great too. I just gave them many, many options. And then I gave myself a strip, an envelope that had a stamp on it. So some people was just, yes, you can put a sign. These are probably my neighbors. Some people sent me a small check, $25. Mm-hmm. Some people said, yeah, here's a paragraph about you can use as an endorsement. So I did that. So, you send out kind of a fundraising letter, family, friends, neighbors, colleagues, whatever, and see what you get there. And then you'll be amazed if you just ask a bunch of questions or ask the incumbents, who did you use? How did you do this? Who printed your this? It's not that hard. They'll tell you. Mm-hmm. There's nothing secret about this.
Yeah. I like that a lot. A lot of people come to us asking for help in their communities running for office. And what I always tell them is you've got to go in the community and ask around in your community because it's different everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, you can figure out the local people, but you just got to ask questions and people will help you.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah. And I also like the point that you said about this not being a lifelong job. It's a 4-year term, right? And that you have done it twice and now you say you're done and you're going to help somebody else do it. And I think if women thought about it like that, they might be more willing to engage if they think, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to serve my time, my 4 years or 8 years or whatever, and then find somebody else great and help them and like pay it back to them and help them get in office and make sure there's a consistent chain of great people in our local offices.
Yes. And the other thing you want to do is get to know the other elected women. I know the mayor of Vineyard. She's wonderful. The mayor of Linden, the Provo mayor, they're all women and they're city councils. And guess what? They become really good friends. And we go to lunch every other month and we just talk about issues. And I have friends for life that I would never have probably met or known. So the quality of women are amazing. And we've got some amazing mayors in at least Utah County. And we talk openly. We talk about concerns. But the friendship that you gain is amazing. And I can call them anytime and say, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think?
Yeah.
And so don't underestimate the power of a sisterhood. Sisterhood is very important.
I love that. That's fantastic. Thank you. So we are just about out of time and okay. we're going to have to end, but this was such a phenomenal discussion. I love your perspective on things. You just kind of turn things on their head and put a positive spin on them and tell us how to do it. I love it. I was wondering if you had a invitation for our listeners this week.
Well, the invitation I would do is get involved. Get involved on any level you want. At bare minimum, read your local newspaper online or subscribe to the newspaper. Follow your city on social media platforms. Follow them. Get involved in a committee. Like I said, I've been on Arts Council. There's like Beautification, Planning Commission, Heritage. There's so many committees that need women on them. And so get involved. And those are usually about a 2 to 3 year commitment. If you want to start there, that's great. And then I know next June when my, you have to file to if someone wants to file for my seat in Orem, I'll help you. I'll be happy to help you and get her done. But in your local community, just start somewhere and then become an advocate. Advocates are so important. Write your city council, but make sure they're respectful. Honestly, nothing makes me crazier when I get this inflammatory sort of thing, calling me names and leave out this one. This is the line I hate. Children will be killed because of your decision. You know that if that's your only argument, you got nothing else. Leave the children will be killed argument out. And it'll be on your head. That's what they say to me. Oh, children will be killed. Well, no, a parent didn't watch the child. I'm sorry. It's not my fault. So what I'm telling you, write a letter, be respectful, state the facts. You can be emotional about it, passionate, but do not be... Don't be name calling and make it short, because when we get them, I just look at them, kind of scan their basic ideas and then just leave the ultra emotions out. Just be factual, but you can say, I really care about this. And da, 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 da. So write letters, listen, learn, get involved. That's what I would tell you to do.
Mm-hmm. That's good advice on approaching elected officials in general. I think it's just logical. Leave just the emotion out of it.
Be clear, concise, and do not be verbose. We will not read it.
Yeah.
Three paragraphs, plenty.
Yep. And they'll take it more seriously if you have a real argument as opposed
to emotional. Yes, please do. And, you know, turn the tables. How do you like to be responded to? If I'm name calling you, I'm just going to toss it aside, right?
Yeah.
But if you're respectful and kind, and actually sometimes I go, oh, I never thought about that. That's interesting. I think perspectives are interesting. And that's where we get the best governance, is when we understand all the sides of the issue. So get involved on small level or on a big level. Get involved.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you so much. Thank you, Debbie Larray, for joining us today. You are delightful. I've loved talking to you and getting to know you a little bit more. You have just listened to the Project Elected podcast. So subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and catch our next episode. We will see you next time.